Welcome to the Voices of Veritas podcast. I'm Candace Pritz, Community Relations with Veritas Christian Academy, and I am here today with Mrs. Hannah Ward, Rhetoric School teacher. Mrs. Ward is going to share with us today about a recent course she had the opportunity to take about C.S. Lewis's book, The Abolition of Man. Hannah, can you please describe the course for us?
Yes, so the course on Classical You involved a series of lectures by Dr. Steve Turley that analyzed each section of the book. For me, that was very helpful. The Abolition of Man was not originally written as a book. It was a series of academic lectures, and it was a bit of a tedious read. So I appreciated that in the first lecture, the presenters acknowledged this is known to be a challenging little book, but the wider context presented in the lectures really drew me into a deeper understanding of the text and helped me understand some of the philosophical concepts better that Lewis was presenting and what his concerns were about the future of education and the future of humanity.
So one of the most well-known quotes from the book is, "The task of the modern educator is not to cut down jungles, but to irrigate deserts." What do you make of this, and how do you think we do this at Veritas?
So that quote comes in the midst of Lewis's really brutal critique of an English textbook, which this critique goes on for much of the first section of the book. And Lewis doesn't mention the title of the book. He calls it the Green Book or its authors. But he says some harsh things. He says that their philosophy puts the ethics, theology, and politics of the students at stake, and that the methods in this book cut out the soul of the student.
Wow.
But for me, one of the most powerful statements comes after just after the quote that you just mentioned. Lewis says, "By starving the sensibility of our pupils, we only make them easier prey to the propagandist when he comes. For famished nature will be avenged, and a hard heart is no infallible protection against a soft head." And that actually gives me chills when I read it, because it's so true. Making students easier prey to the propagandist when he comes, that is a real concern. And I feel like we have too many hard hearts and soft heads these days. So at Veritas, we're intentional about teaching our students how to think and reason. Students participate in Padeus seminars at all grade levels. They learn to evaluate material, to listen to the arguments of others, and to present their own ideas.
Absolutely. And if Lewis were asked about contemporary education in America, in light of the book, what might he say?
I think he would see some of his fears coming true. One of the best examples that comes to mind is the overemphasis on standardized tests and the tendency to teach to the tests. There is so much pressure on public school teachers to get their students to perform well on these tests. School funding and teacher bonuses have been tied to this. Comparative scores have been published. There's a lot of pressure. That can change how and what is taught in the classroom and cause the focus more on teaching students what to think rather than how to think. At the same time, I think Lewis would be encouraged by the recent rise in the popularity of and access to classical Christian education. Virtue is definitely part of the culture at Veritas. The Rhetoric School is divided into four houses: Dante, Homer, Virgil, and Milton. And each house is assigned a corresponding virtue: prudence or wisdom, courage, temperance, justice. And today, actually, the houses are creating skits to illustrate their respective virtues. They're making little commercials about each virtue. So I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Why does Lewis argue about the lack of objectivity in science? Or could you specifically discuss where Lewis proposes of modern science that It was born in an unhealthy neighborhood and at an inauspicious hour. Its triumphs may have been too rapid and purchased at too high a price. Reconsideration and something like repentance may be required.
Yes, so, and his issue is not only with the extent or direction of scientific knowledge and the importance being placed on it, but also with the level of control that it gives a small number of people over others in the current and future generations who are affected by those decisions. He was concerned about the control that the few with the technical knowledge have over others, and the use of that knowledge as a means of manipulation of others. So it is not just nature being manipulated, but humanity that is being manipulated. His fear is that this will lead to two classes of people. He calls the conditioners, an elite, powerful class, who control the tools of technology and even manipulate human nature itself, and the conditioned, who are dependent on them. I've not read Lewis's sci-fi trilogy, but this course has really made me want to. They talk about it a lot. The final book in that series is said to be an illustration of this type of dystopian society that Lewis feared.
And it's now been 80 years since The Abolition of Man was published as a book. Have any of Lewis's fears about the future of education and or society been realized in any way?
I think so. Education is becoming so fact-oriented. Lewis focuses heavily on scientific fact and control in his book as being in conflict with virtue, with the good, the true, and the beautiful. One specific thing, again, in education is that emphasis on standardized testing in the public schools. Another problem with that is that so much time has to be spent teaching to those reading and math tests that there's often little time for other subjects. One of the many reasons we moved our son from public school to Veritas when he was in elementary school was that he was so naturally interested in subjects like history, but there was just so little time for that in the elementary school curriculum in the public schools. We appreciated that Veritas had the ability to make time for history, Latin, art, music. I remember the feeling I had. I remember being so excited when we were presented with the curriculum outlining what students were learning here.
The whole body, the whole mind person.
Yes.
What are some examples or ways in which modern education acts as propaganda instead of propagating knowledge?
One of the discussions in this course was the idea of formation versus information in education. While modern education debates what information must be presented to students and what tests must be given to assess the acquisition of those facts, at Veritas, our task is not merely to pour information into our students as if they are mindless vessels. We are concerned with the formation of godly, of ethical, and moral humans who can think for themselves and discern truth and appreciate the goodness and beauty in this world that God created.
That's beautiful. What do you count as a grand takeaway from this book?
Like I was just saying, the importance of things like virtue and beauty in education, and the shift in what society values, and the concern for the control a few people have over what is taught and how. I have been an educator for over 20 years, and I have taught middle school and high school English and Spanish, but I have also taught pre-K. I've wondered if I will see the day where high schoolers no longer study poetry and young children no longer sit in the lap of a caring adult and have actual books read to them. Will society deem these not useful enough? Lewis talks about and counters this idea of utilitarianism, that something has value only if it is useful. He counters this with natural law theory, which recognizes the moral consciousness of humanity and the recognition of a universe intentionally created and ordered by God. Will we lose sight of the value of these things? Yes, a function of education is to prepare students to be productive and successful members of the workforce, but we can't neglect the formation of character and virtue. At the end of the book, Lewis lists examples of human virtue that have been evident in all human societies, such as love, duty, justice, mercy. Lewis emphasizes that these are not and could not be created by humans. These God-given virtues set us apart as humans and are part of the order of God's creation.
Mm-hmm. And so how might the education our students receive at Veritas at a classical Christian school be a counter to the terrible education that Lewis describes in The Abolition of Man?
Well, I'm one who can certainly appreciate how Veritas is so very different. I've taught in public schools, and as a parent, I have seen the different experiences my own children had with public school education versus the classical Christian experience offered at Veritas. Mm-hmm. I first observed the difference of Veritas as a parent years ago, as I mentioned, searching for a school for my son. And as I said, he was a child who loved learning, but that joy was being crushed in the public school setting. In addition to the engaging curriculum, a difference I noticed was in the teachers. They are personally invested in the development of their students. Yes, they love the students they teach, but there is also the intentional formation of Christian character in their students. And I'm not saying at all that public school teachers don't care about their students. Sure. They're just operating within a different framework that has different objectives. When God led me to consider becoming a part of the faculty here, I felt such a powerful sense of joy in knowing that I could be a part of something so special and so important in the formation of the students. What we have here, what we're doing here, it is different, and it is special. And I hope that C.S. Lewis would be pleased.
Absolutely. Hannah, thank you so much for discussing with us today. Veritas, thanks for tuning in. Be on the lookout for future podcasts. We look forward to bringing you more topics in this 25th year of us celebrating the good, the true, and the beautiful at Veritas. We hope you have a wonderful day.